Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So baseball fans are connected to the fall classic from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G, more towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever before. T-Mobile has you covered. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Best mobile network based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data, first half 2025. See details at T-Mobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Doug Carr, Scott Anderson, 97.1 The Ticket, 248-539-9797. We're talking a little Michigan State. Obviously, the game tomorrow night, and we got our picks in early. I had Michigan winning 28-24. I think it's going to be a close football game for a bunch of reasons I stated earlier. I think the rivalry games, stuff happens. I think Aiden Childs has a chance to have a big game. Nick Marsh is going to be a problem for people in the Big Ten. And Michigan's no different. And, you know, Michigan State gets off to fast starts. Michigan has allowed, as we documented, a lot of long drives to open games. They broke the trend last week against Washington, although Washington, oddly, is notorious for slow starts. They fell behind Maryland 20-0. They fell behind Rutgers 10-0 before winning both those games, and they didn't move the ball against Michigan early. Actually, they did a little bit. They had an 8-play drive and netted 23 yards, and then they got into Michigan territory three times, the first three times they had the ball, and I think no points, right? It was a fourth drive, I believe, they scored. Anyway, long story short, I think Michigan State needs a fast start. The formula's been there for them, and I think it builds belief. Dogfight, Michigan wins a close game, 28-24.
I think Michigan State will play strong, certainly for the first half and hopefully into the second half. But in the end, I just think Michigan's a better team, and they'll end up pushing more points across the board. I have it closer as well, but not as close as you do it. I have it 31-23 Michigan. If you know, I mean, there's so many things that have to go Michigan State's way for them to win this game. One of them is don't turn the ball over. That's been a problem. Penalties are always going to play a role in this game. And special teams seem to be big as well. Michigan State can't afford to give up big yards in a return game. You know, they've got one of the best punters in the country. So hopefully they're able to avoid any disaster there. But nonetheless, I still think Michigan has too much talent.
248-539-9797. We've been talking about the positives of a night game. This is the fourth consecutive Michigan State game that has been a night game. Hey, sports snobs. 70,000 go to the game. A couple million watch from home. I love night games. That's from Patrick. Okay, you can gear back the hostility,
yeah,
cowboy.
It's not. I think I would feel a lot different if I weren't doing what I do for a living.
This is the least amount of enthusiasm for the game I've ever seen. That's from an unnamed texter. Another one here. I've mounted a nice 55-inch TV on my patio. It's harder to enjoy the night games outside and invite somebody over to watch the games at night. Since mounting it, the final Tiger game was on at night, both Lions games and now this Michigan State game. Definitely harder to get together for a Sunday night football game or Monday night football game.
Because it's getting colder, or what do you
think? Yeah, I mean, you have to work the next day in many of these cases, too. But, all right.
I was just going to say, good time to get the fire pit going.
Tom in Troy says, not a fan of the night game. I want to go out on Saturday, and if I stay in, I'm an MMA fan, and UFC fights trump college football nowadays since the NCAA has become a circus. Night games are for those with kids.
Well, there's a heavyweight championship fight in the UFC, so that's competition.
We're asking for positives from the night game, and all we're getting is complaints about the night game. Not all of them, I guess. As a lifelong Spartan fan, I see this game being 35-7 type Michigan win. I just don't think MSU has much talent, if any at all, and they're not going to be able to keep up with Michigan. Hopefully, this is Coach Smith's final game. Here's the thing about that kind of thinking, all right? Firing him now doesn't really provide you any great advantage, does it?
No, I think the
earliest, just gets your players that you like on your roster looking for their next stop quicker.
100% it does that. I think the earliest you could see any kind of change, they would have to lose. Michigan State would have to lose badly tomorrow night, and then I think the next game is Minnesota. They would have to get beaten badly then, and then they have a bye week before the next game, which I think is Penn State. The bye week would make sense to, if you're going to make a change, that then you go ahead and announce it then. But at the same time, I don't mind if they wait. There's a lot of coaching jobs that are open, and my waiting could be till after next season. Like, I'm not in any hurry to push them out the door. I just think they want them to do their due diligence and see what's there, and what do a post-season interview, the whole thing with the players, and see where everybody's at, and make up your mind at that point of what to do.
Unnamed texter, my son is in the Michigan marching band, and he doesn't like night games. He thinks they won't get back to Ann Arbor this Saturday till after 2 a.m. Technically, that would be Sunday. Yeah.
Oh.
And you've used 2 a.m. as your benchmark of when you get home from night games at Michigan State.
Typically, yeah.
I don't like the night game. I love the night games. With kids' activity and other things going on, I know I can catch the entire game at night. Noon or 3:30, I always miss part of the game. That's from JP. There you go.
I feel that text very much.
Yeah, I bet.
Like, when Doug, you know this, when you have young kids and they start getting activities and there's family time, the best chance for me as a dad is to watch games at night. In the middle of the day on a Saturday or Sunday, you're carving out 4 hours, it's tough.
You're screwed.
Yeah, it's absolutely just, that's why Doug is the king of the bubble. Like, how many times have we got a text from you over the last 20 years, Doug? I'm in the bubble, guys.
It's definitely more than 100.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
And I'm entering that territory at some point, and it's just tough for me. So, yeah, I like the night game.
I've lived your timeline, and it's so much fun watching you go through it. So much fun. Robert, you're next on 97.1 The Ticket. Hi, Robert.
How you doing?
Okay, Robert.
I just want to say why I like the night games, because you get to watch all the other games during the day, and then you get to settle in for your game at night. It's usually the last game you watch, so it's pretty cool.
Is there really, did you just describe any start time? Couldn't the same thing be applied to a noon start?
8 o'clock, anything like that is perfect. I mean, you get to watch every other game, and then, you know, you get the your game, the one you really want to watch, you know, and it's usually.
Okay, so you like the buildup, because you could say on a noon start, I get to watch 3:30 and the night games, or 3:30 start, I get to watch the noon and the night games.
Correct.
So,
correct.
But you like the buildup to your game.
Yes, absolutely. Like that Monday night game with Detroit was so great. You know, you got to watch all the other games, and then you get your game.
Well, there's not games on in the afternoon.
No, but it was the
Monday.
Buildup of the whole week. Starting on Sunday, and everybody's talking about it. You get the advertising going on Sunday night football. And don't forget tomorrow night, Monday night football. The Lions are hosting the Bucs. Yeah, I get that.
Regarding Animal Day, Scott says you have to have a crew. One brings a grill and a cooler. One brings the meat. One brings the cornhole. You got to have plates and cups and utensils, guy. Chips and dip, dude. And also, everyone brings drinks to share. I've seen some great tailgates. It's an art form.
Tailgating is great.
I know. And I never get to do it.
Organized tailgating is awesome.
And let me tell you something. The times I've gotten to do it are like the outdoor hockey games, occasional Lions game. I've gotten a chance to do it. But Sundays for me are kind of a recoup day. People that you get, behold your moments to tailgate, cherish them. Because whenever I get to do it, I am reminded it is the greatest thing. It is, tailgating is just awesome. And I'm not telling anyone, this is not some groundbreaking observation by sports snob over here. 248-539-9797. Looking for what people think are positives about the night games. In the meantime, Gator, there's some percolation about Tarik Skubal, including now some trade discussion and a name floated out there that could be the centerpiece of a return if he is dealt. We'll get to that today at 12:16. Hey, just a reminder, you can stream this show using the Audacy app. Get it for your mobile device today, AUDACY. Then you can listen to this show and all the shows here on 971 The Ticket from anywhere in the United States. You can also stream through our website, 971theticket.com. Stream with video, twitch.tv and youtube.com. Both of those websites have streaming chat. We like to participate in them when we can. But also, we can take your observations and your posts there and read them on the air. Also, follow us on Twitter, at DougGator971, where we often do listener polls and retweet stuff that when we mention video, so we can have you see it. All of what we do here on 97.1 The Ticket. We'll get to the Skubal scuttlebutt at 12:16. Talk some Lions at 12:30 here on 97.1 The Ticket.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So baseball fans are connected to the Fall Classic from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G, more towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever before. T-Mobile has you covered. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Best mobile network based on analysis by Ookla Speedtest Intelligence data, first half 2025. See details at T-Mobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Once upon a mundane morning, Barb's day got busy without warning. A realtor in need of an open house sign? No, 50 of them. And designed before 9.
My head hurts.
Any mighty tools to help with this plight?
Aha!
Barb made her move. She opened Canva and got in the groove.
Bulk creating Canva sheets. Create 50 signs fit for suburban streets.
Done in a click, all complete.
Sweet!
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
All right, Carson Anderson, 97.1 The Ticket. Story done by Jim Bowden in the last 24 hours and posted on The Athletic about the players, the top 10 major league stars most likely to be traded this offseason. Several big name players that could be traded, he writes. Number one on the list, Tarik Skubal, left-handed pitcher, Detroit Tigers. He writes amongst what he wrote, and I'm going to just read in part here. When Juan Soto got a $765 million and Shohei Ohtani got a $700 million, they reset the market for the top free agents. And the expectation now is that Skubal will reset the market for pitchers and become the highest paid starting pitcher in history with a realistic starting price north of $400 million. It's unlikely the Tigers go there. It's likely they shop Skubal at the winter meetings and try to make the best trade they can with so many big market teams with deep farm systems obviously wanting him, such as the Mets, Dodgers, Red Sox, Yankees, and Giants. Okay, we discussed this last week when it came up and it first kind of hit, and you know, we were like, okay, that's fine. Except the Tigers are contending now. Do they really want your prospects? They're going to want people that they think are major league ready and can help them win now. They're also going to want a trade that, you know, you don't have Scooble. How do you still contend? Can you get better in a variety of fronts on, you know, a starter, reliever, a third baseman, that improve all those aspects of your team to try and make up for the loss of Scooble and collect future assets to make it worth their while? And so what we're saying here is that the price has to be extraordinarily high for this to be a good trade, right?
Yes, and you would assume that if it's a big bidder like the Yankees or the Mets or Red Sox, whatever, one of these teams that has the deep pockets, that they're trading for him because they have the full intention of signing him to an extension. So then you're able to get that huge haul in return. But if it's going to be comprised of mostly minor league prospects, I don't know how interested I am.
Right. And, but
because this team's ready to compete right now, ready to contend and do better than and get to the ALCS at the very least next time.
Now, floated back from Newsweek is a story about the Yankees. And the writer here throws a name in there that sounds like a good starting spot. Elian Muhammad. It sounds like a good starting spot. The Yankees would likely have to part with their young pitching asset. And that young pitching asset started two elimination games for them at the age of 24, Cam Schlittler. Now, I happen to watch Schlittler's major league debut. And it will be a challenge if he comes here for the obvious reasons. Because he was going up against my nephew when he was in Yankee Stadium. So it was Logan on one side and Schlittler on the other. And I was really impressed. And he became part of the rotation. He's 24 years old. And let's just say Scooble for Schlittler would not get it done.
No.
Of course not.
No. Schlittler made 14 starts for the Yankees last year. It hit ERA of 2.96. Had a whip of 1.2, but the 84 strikeouts and 73 innings, only 58 hits given up during that time. Those are really good numbers.
But that sounds to me like, okay, we have a starting point.
Sure.
And you build out from there. And there's a lot of building out that needs to be done.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the first time I've seen a name and, you know, starting on that side, if that side thinks... And look, just because this writer wrote it doesn't mean it's true, but it, you get a sense that over there, there'd be a parting, you know, from at least one opinion maker, a parting with that young player who is in the majors, who would be in your rotation. Now, for people screaming, what are the odds he's as good as Scooble? Not good. What are the odds you could get him and more, and not a little more, but quite a bit more to make this trade? Say, okay, they've solidified some things here. They've lost a player that wasn't going to re-sign here, and it's a step back in starting pitching, but 24-year-old Schlittler is really good.
Well, I'll say here's what you want when you want more, because obviously it is Tarek Skubal. And if you're talking with the Yankees and you got Schlittler off their major league roster, who made the 14 starts last year, And then you're going to want somebody who's ready to play at the major league level. One of the big prospects, literally and figuratively, is Spencer Jones, the outfielder, who's 6'7" and big time power hitter. 35 home runs last year at the AAA level, 80 RBI in the season. That's between AA and AAA. Hit .274, a .933 OPS. Huge guy. Yankees got big guys, you know, on their team right now. But this is an outfielder. Ready to make the jump, possibly, to the majors. Strikes out a bunch, but has monster power. I believe he is right. I think he's left-handed. He is left-handed.
Yep.
You know, but add that piece to it. Is that, would the Yankees say that's too much? And well, okay. I mean, but look who you're asking for. You're asking for the best pitcher in baseball.
Spencer Jones, his ETA on that MLB website, he's supposed to arrive in the majors next year.
Yeah. Because so he played AAA up at AAA this year.
Yep. You'd be getting We're cooking here a little bit. Like, I'm not. Let me raise my hand before people start yelling. Not crazy about trading Scooble.
No.
But you know what else I'm not crazy about? Hanging on to a player that has maybe zero intention of re-signing here without exploring the trade market first. Okay, this is just trade exploration. And if nobody's going to give you back, if we're talking about the Yankees' 24-year-old pitcher who looks like he's going to be a stud, who debuted last year, started two elimination games for him and won one of them. If you're getting him and Spencer Jones, how many home runs did he hit?
35 last year.
As a 24-year-old left-handed power-hitting outfielder, if this is a starting spot here, now we might be starting to get to the point where you can see why you might accept the trade, right?
Yes. And that's why I think the most important thing this offseason for the Tigers is to determine what they can do with Tarek Skubal. Does he want to be here or not? And if he does want to be, or if he's willing to take the deal, how steep is that deal going to be? Is it going to approach $60 million a year? You know, if Bowden's talking about a $400 million contract, good God, that's okay. That's, think about that. That's 8 years at $50 million a season. Is that too much, or is that going rate? Is that market rate? I mean, he's going to have to get paid more than the previous big contract was, which was Crochet, I think. Got a big contract of close to $40 million a year. So, I mean, Scooble's arguably better than that. Or not, I just say it, he is better than that. So is he deserving of how much more than that? You know, what gets uncomfortable? I think you and I are on the same page in that what gets more uncomfortable for us is the years.
Right.
It's not the money. It's how many years you're going to throw in that contract, because I don't want to extend, you know, a 29-year-old pitcher till he's 37 necessarily. I don't mind paying him,
mm-hmm.
but I also have to be careful that I'm not overpaying him to the point where I can't afford to bring anybody else into the fold, because this is just the guy you're retaining. It's not a new piece to this team.
So look, now that do we have the framework of something that we can work with here? I mean, you go back to Scooble again and you say, dude, we don't want to trade you.
Right.
We want to sign you now. And here is our offer. And you just try and you know, we obviously upped the offer, whatever it was. You just try your best. But if the intention is there, and I think the intention might have been spelled out when he hired Scott Boras. But if the intention is there to leave Detroit, then exploring a trade offer like this, we'll have to ask Mr. Yankee when he gets in here at 2 o'clock if Mike... how he'd feel about the writer mentioned Cam Schlittler. You threw in Spencer Jones.
Hell yes, I'm throwing it in. Because we're talking about the best pitcher in baseball. You're not just getting him for nothing, and you're also assuming that the Yankees are going to trade for him, that they know that they're going to sign him to an extension. Yep. So it's not a rental player per se, even though, yes, he factually only has 1 year left on his contract. But if you're going to trade him, a trade for him, you're assuming that that team has every intention of giving him that extension that's necessary to hang on to him. And the Yankees are, you know, one of a handful of teams that can afford to give him that extension.
My only concern about this, all of this talk, is with all trade talk now, is that we are going to create an unrealistic expectation on a return.
That's possible.
Yep. And then they'll make a trade that baseball people might look at and say, wow, they got a lot. And we're going to be like, yeah, but these dudes are in single A and double A. And people go, oh, yeah, you're going to be set up for years. And we kind of want to win now. And that feels like that might be a framework that we should be preparing to expect.
If you get to the winter meetings and free agency hasn't really gone full bore yet, I understand free agency starts like a day or two after the World Series is done. But let's just say that nobody has really signed their contracts yet. But you get to the winter meetings and you've got movement on Tarek Skubal, then you end up trading Tarek Skubal for prospects. Okay, that would tell me that the Tigers are then going to go out and sign some free agent players. Some big time, and they would have to sign at least one big time starting pitcher, like a Dylan Cease or something like that, or a Framber Valdez type player.
All right. Anyway, that is the latest on Scooble. We will get to the latest on our Detroit Lions with the Birchie Kid coming up in 5 minutes here on Carson Anderson on 97.1 The Ticket.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So baseball fans are connected to the Fall Classic from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G, more towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever before. T-Mobile has you covered. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Best mobile network based on analysis by Ookla Speedtest Intelligence data, first half 2025. See details at T-Mobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Once upon a dismal day, Bob's ice cream van looked gloomy and gray. Although he had big ambitions, his socials lacked creative vision.
That bad?
Maybe vamp it up a tad?
I have an idea.
Bob launched Canva and got into gear.
Create the video in the vampire theme and make it the funniest meme.
It went viral. Bob's business, a revival. Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at canva.com.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
All right, the Birch Kid joins us on Fridays. No game this week, but that's okay because there's a lot of news going on surrounding our Lions. What's up, my man? How are you?
What's going on, fellas? I'm doing great. How about you? Happy Friday.
Happy Friday indeed, Birch.
Yep. So a story came out, a follow-up, Mike Florio, that the NFL told him that nobody from their crew told Dan Campbell that that call came from New York. You know, one of the things that happens at these games is on the field – there's all kinds of people working. Is it possible somebody not affiliated with the officiating crew said that to Dan Campbell and that's where he got it from? But a worker down there?
We're still on this, huh?
Well, not really, but it just came back out because of the story of Florio.
No, I got you. No, so, when I asked around for some clarity on that situation a week ago or whenever it happened, the way it was explained to me and what I believe to be the truth is that during game days, and you guys know this, there is a sideline judge on each sideline whose main job, among other responsibilities, is to serve as the main point of contact for each head coach, to relay decisions made on the field that might otherwise be confusing on the sideline. And as I understand it, as it was explained to me, the sideline judge, after that call was made, consulted with Dan Campbell and told him that the call came from upstairs. Now, in the NFL, upstairs is a bit of a loaded word. It could mean literally upstairs in the replay booth in Kansas City in the stadium, or it could mean more colloquially, like up the NFL ladder from a higher authority, i.e. the replay booth and the replay assistants in New York. And again, as I understand it, Dan heard upstairs and may have interpreted that to mean New York, when in fact the sideline judge meant just on site. Now, either way, I still think that qualifies as a violation of the NFL's own protocol as to when they can and can't receive replay assistance. And it might be as simple as that sideline judge was misinformed, but that's where some of the disconnect lies. And it felt like in some ways a week later, the NFL had to follow the precedent that it had set when it conducted the double review that in this case went to the Lions' benefit. So I'm not surprised the NFL hasn't admitted any kind of error. I think this might just be a misinterpretation issue. And the fact is, even though it was the head official who conferred with Dan after that play was reversed in Kansas City, he was only explaining to Dan exactly why the play was deemed illegal and not how they arrived at that decision. That, as I understand it, came from the sideline judge, and he either had bad information or relayed information that Dan may have misinterpreted. So kind of a long-winded explanation, but maybe that helps.
Yeah, no, I mean, it very well sounds like it could be the case.
Yeah, but as you point out, the next week, you know, we get the game on Monday night, and there's a couple of calls that, you know, could have gone either way, and they both went in the benefit of the Lions. One was the interception call, which I thought was the right call, but you could understand if it wasn't called that way. And the other was the quarterback with the knee down, or was it maybe it was on? They had the knee down as he's reaching, reaching forward for the first down, and then fumbles as the ball hits the ground. But his knee was down, and both of those calls were razor thin margins. If I was up in the booth or an official on that, I would probably say, got to go with whatever the call was on the field because I don't think it's enough to overturn. Do you think the Lions benefited from all the noise from the previous week?
Possibly. I mean, I do think that the NFL set a precedent that they're kind of obligated to abide by moving forward if they're going to set that precedent on national TV with the whole league watching. And, Dan Campbell was the first one to say on Tuesday, after that game, he had never seen a double review like that in the NFL where the call was upheld and then the actual review was overturned upon further review after a second enhanced visual came in from the TV broadcast. So maybe, and when Dan was asked that question, you know, do you feel like what happened last week played any role in the call going in your favor this week? He was like, I don't know, man. I think it was his way of saying, you can say it, not me. I mean, right. He's not really in a position to make that statement, but it was interesting that it kind of came full circle a week later.
Okay, you're down there. The trade stuff has started to percolate amongst the media. What is your sense for what the Lions are really thinking? And this is just your opinion, but what is your sense for what they're really thinking as we approach a trade deadline?
I think what they're really thinking is that they've got two major pieces hopefully rejoining this defensive line soon, which is probably where most of the trade chatter lies, in Marcus Davenport and hopefully Josh Pascal. Pascal seems like just a question mark because we haven't received a firm update on him, and he's already well past an expected 4-week recovery time that the Lions outlined for him back in training camp. But they do expect to have Davenport by the end of November, early December, and ideally you would get Pascal back in the mix around the same time. And, I mean, those two guys are as good as probably any realistically available pass rusher on the open market. I know Salen Phillips' name from the Dolphins has been floated out there. Cam Jordan from the Saints has been floated out there. He's well removed from his sort of all-pro, Pro Bowl peak. And I don't know, maybe one interesting one at that position is Tyree Wilson, who was not long ago a pretty high draft pick, I believe a top 15 pick. And he's been pretty inconsistent in three seasons with the Raiders. And maybe that's a team facing an uncertain future that opts to trade him for picks. But again, I don't know if any of those three guys are better than either or both of Davenport and Pascal. And then I'd also point out here, guys, that Al-Qaeda Muhammad has slowly and maybe quietly established himself as a very reliable and productive pass rusher opposite Aiden Hutchinson. And, you know, there was obviously so much angst entering the season as to who was going to be that guy on the other side of Hutch. And if you believe in the advanced statistics and the Pro Football Focus grades and the pass rush win rate and the QB pressures,
he has been a top 20 pass rusher in the NFL. And if you had asked any Lions fan, hey, would you take a top 20 pass rusher this year opposite Hutchinson entering the season? Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Every single person would have signed right up. And I'll reiterate my point for the third time. I don't think anyone they're adding on the open market is going to be better than that. They're only, last I looked, one of three teams, I think, with three top 20 pass rushers by those metrics that I just referenced. So the need there might not be as extreme as it felt entering the season. And, you know, obviously the secondary is coming back to health here soon, and Branch will return from his suspension. I wonder if maybe it's offensive line where they look. And knowing that Taylor Decker is probably going to be battling his shoulder for the rest of the year, and that if he has to miss more time or, heaven forbid, has to be shut down, I don't think they can really trust Manu or Dan Skipper to step in there. So maybe that's the position where they target some more depth before November 4th.
Yeah, I was just going to ask about that, because Taylor Decker after the game said didn't feel great, you know, getting back out there on the field, even though his play was more than adequate, but he didn't feel great. And if that is something that is going to linger, I mean, I've maintained for a while here, I don't think the number one priority going to the trade deadline is pass rusher. I thought it was a defensive back, but it may now be an offensive tackle.
Yeah, it's crazy how that has pivoted from a year ago. And, you know, it's not a reflection at all on how the offensive line has played when healthy. In fact, I've been kind of blown away at how seamlessly, aside from that week one debacle in Green Bay, this starting unit has picked up where it left off, despite losing an all-pro center and a Pro Bowl guard in Frank Ragnow and Kevin Zeitler. But I was just looking up some numbers this morning. They allowed a pressure rate from 2023 to 2024, and I think we all would agree they had one of the two best offensive lines in the NFL, of 34.1%. So on 34.1% of Jared Goff's dropbacks, he was under pressure. That pressure rate this year is 33.9%. It's actually marginally improved. And they averaged on the ground 4.6 yards per carry over the prior two seasons. This year, after Gibbs' big night on Monday night, they're at 4.5. I mean, this offensive line has operated incredibly well and really has maintained the lofty standard that was set over the past two, three seasons. But to answer your question, Gator, yeah, I do think they need to have honest conversations with Taylor Decker and with themselves about what they have behind Taylor Decker. And, you know, look, there's a lot of familiarity and trust with Dan Skipper. I just don't know if they would feel entirely comfortable entering the stretch run of the playoffs should they get there without Decker, with Skipper being a guy. And I think it's pretty clear after having watched Gio Manu in that Cincinnati game that he's not ready for that assignment either. So I do think that that is a position worth monitoring over the next 2-3 weeks here.
Real quick, when they hit the field against Minnesota, how many guys from the secondary are expected to be back?
I believe that Terrion will be back. Kirby Joseph will be back. Obviously, Brian Branch will be back. And I think DJ Reed, while not against the Vikings, should return at some point in November. So that unit obviously will be fortified. And it's a bit of a bummer for the Legion of Boom, isn't it? I feel like they deserve more opportunities. But if you can add two all-pro safeties and two starting quarterbacks, you don't say no to that.
Yep. Hey, thanks for your time, Burchie. As always, great job. And we will talk again next week.
You guys got it. Talk soon.
There he is, the Burchie Kid, here on 97.1 The Ticket. Another edition of Are You Gonna Eat That? Straight ahead here on The Ticket. Thanks to the Burchie Kid. A reminder, our football coverage presented by Paramount Plus. Can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with NFL, the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday and all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. No game this week, though. No game this week. How do you feel about that? From a social standpoint.
About the which noon game?
That there is no Lions game this week.
I'm fine with it. I could use a break.
Yeah.
It's good.
Yep.
It's been, you know, it's interesting with us, with the show, dealing with a week without the NFL, you fill in with other stuff because there's no real lines to talk about, but there's always something to talk about.
Sure.
Unfortunately, we had the Chauncey Billups story break this week, but no, I'm good with it. I'm good with not having it, and we'll gear up for next week, a big game against the Vikings.
Yeah, and getting guys back. That's probably my favorite part about this whole thing is trying to get healthy for, it's not even a stretch run, but it's, you know, it's kind of a stretch run, post-bye stretch run. All right, ready to go over some new foods?
Yes.
Let's go. All right, here we go, Gator. These are new items, or at least new to us. I found one here that is popular in Alaska called, I think it's Akutak, which is Alaskan ice cream. Are you interested in some ice cream?
Well, that depends, Doug.
Akutak is a traditional Alaskan dessert, also known as Eskimo ice cream.
Yeah. Where do they get the base from, Doug?
Would you like...
What kind of animal or creature is that cream product coming from?
It's made from whipped fat, such as caribou or walrus tallow, and mixed with berries like blueberries or salmon berries, and sometimes fish or roots. Modern recipes may substitute Crisco for animal fat. The texture can vary from light and fluffy to frozen and an ice cream-like consistency. Gator Alaskan ice cream, Akutak. Are you going to eat that?
I'm good, thanks.
But listen to this. It was used on the last frontier. The chill runs deep, so does the tradition. Akutak helps fuel you for long...
I'm good.
For long journeys across frozen landscapes, it says here.
I'm good, thanks.
So Gator's a no.
I'm good, thank you.
Do you have any planned long journeys along frozen landscapes?
Always, yeah. But I do not need the Akutak.
All right, Kag, you?
So I have a policy.
It's a yak attack is what that sounds like.
I stay away from anything Eskimo. I'll just leave it at that.
Right. No Eskimo kisses, no Eskimo pie.
None. Okay, Gator. Okay, I'm going to leave it at that, so I'm out.
Three no's.
Oh, you're a no.
Yeah, you don't say. Next up, Duncan.
How do you feel about the word tallow?
Caribou's the other white meat.
Right.
Said no one ever.
from
no, Eskimo
free range muskox. Yeah.
Next up, Duncan. I got a couple Duncan offerings here.
All right.
Our Halloween menu has arrived. I'll just choose one thing from the Halloween menu, the spider donut. This is a donut with purple
Alaskan spiders
with purple icing,
yeah.
Topped with a glazed chocolate munchkin donut hole and decorated with chocolate drizzle spider legs and vanilla flavored icing eyes. The spider donut, Gator. Are you going to eat that?
So it's basically a glazed donut with a munchkin in there?
Munchkin on top, but it's purple. It's not. It's glazed.
I don't care about
purple.
The color. Okay. It's all it's a glazed donut, which is great. And then you got the munchkin, the chocolate munchkins, which are great. And adding some extra colored icing? Yeah, I'm down with that. That sounds good.
Gator's a yes. Kang, you?
I'm in. Okay. I want to forget about the Eskimo thing, so I'm going to go on this one and just quickly eat something else.
It helps.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't remember the last time I had a donut, nor do I predict the next time I will, but I'll pass on that. Duncan also has partnered with Tarte, which is like a makeup company.
I'm sorry, what?
Like a makeup company, Duncan and Tarte.
Tarte.
Yes. Like cosmetics. Saw this on NBC. It was NBC or CBS, one of their morning shows. On a donut-flavored lip oil and lip tint. Gator, donut-flavored lip oil or lip tint. Would you want your girlfriend to use the donut-flavored lip product? I won't ask if you will wear it.
I mean, if there's a flavor involved, yeah. What's wrong? Take it back to the days of you know, getting back with the flavored lip gloss back in the high school days. Yeah.
Ringing a bell.
Taking Gator back.
It's bringing it back.
Is that still a thing? I don't even know. What are they called? Lip smackers or something?
I don't even know. What do you got there? Is it root beer? Let me try that out.
So you're a yes?
Sure.
Keg, would you want your wife?
More smooch?
The donut flavored lip oil or lip tint?
Sure. I mean, I don't have a say usually. Everything looks good on you, honey.
Yeah. Great.
Yeah, but the thing is, it's under with the assumption, right? I mean, if there's a flavor to it, the assumption is that you want the person that you're going to be kissing to taste that flavor. So, yeah.
Okay.
Just means more kissing.
Yeah, I guess I'm okay with this. Oddly. Next up, Grater's, a longstanding Midwestern ice cream company, has teamed up with another Midwest titan, Skyline Chili, to create a limited-time Skyline Spice ice cream. It's been re-released. It was released in January. They brought it back this October to celebrate National Chili Month. This wacky, wonderful creation combines Grater's handcrafted French pot ice cream with oyster crackers and Skyline's signature chili spice mix, offering up the best of both worlds, these two beloved Cincinnati eateries. Scott, the Grater's Skyline mashup. The Skyline Spice ice cream. Are you going
to
eat that?
So I'm curious about this because the difference with Skyline Chili is that they had cinnamon to it, right? That's the big spice that's in there.
No idea.
I assume there's like cumin and paprika or something and chili powder as well. But that's where I'm not. You might lose me, but I'd be willing to try it.
Okay.
See, you know, how prominent that cinnamon flavor is, and does it battle nicely with the others or not?
I'm surprised.
Huh. Well, it's better than.
But you don't like Skyline Chili, right?
Tallow. No, not a big fan of it, but because I don't think cinnamon belongs in chili, but I like cinnamon.
You want chili? You want it in your ice cream?
Yeah, cinnamon and ice cream is absolutely.
All right, gotcha.
Yeah. You're like tigers. They hate cinnamon. No, I'm just kidding. You love cinnamon.
I'd love cinnamon.
The opposite.
Can you?
I'm out. I've never had Skyline Chili, but I haven't heard anyone liked it but people from Cincinnati. So I'm not
true.
From Cincinnati, so I don't like it. So I don't want it in anything.
I was just glad to hear there weren't like beef chunks in there, you know?
tomato
base. I don't need that. No. The spices, that's why I'm curious.
I'm intrigued enough that I would try this.
Wow.
I don't know that I would ever come
that's
across
a shocker.
Who saw that coming?
No one.
That just happened.
Yeah. I mean, I think I like the concept of chili is great to me. And I've made turkey chilies and white chicken chilies. But I think this sounds intriguing to me.
Gonna make some chili tomorrow night.
All right. Finally, Oreo's come out with Oreo Boo for the Halloween holiday, of course. The classic is back for spooky season. Same chocolate cookies and same mysterious orange cream that doesn't taste orange. It just is orange. Gator, would you eat an Oreo with orange cream?
Hell yes, I would. It's an Oreo. Come on now. Let's all get on board. It's the holiday season. It's fun. Just a different color, that's all. Nothing wrong with it. Oreos are classic.
Okay, he's a yes. Kang, you?
Yeah, I'm all in. Definitely. The orange food coloring or whatever didn't make a difference to me. And it's season. It's seasonal, so.
Yeah, like it's like in February if you want to come out with an Oreo that's got a red cream filling.
Yeah, or pink. You know, right? Totally fine.
Let's go.
It doesn't taste any different. I assume it sounds like it doesn't taste any different. It's just orange.
Right, it's an Oreo. You like Oreos, right?
I don't see. Yeah, I don't have them very often, but they are good, yeah.
Do you break them apart when you eat them? Or you just eat them as a whole?
I never have just one because you have to have several. and I will vary.
Oh.
Sometimes, because I really like the cookie part. Like, I don't need the cream part. I just like the cookie part. But I try sometimes.
So wait a second.
Separate it, have just the cookie. I like to save the cookies, actually. And then I'll go with the cream. And
wait, do you eat multiple creams before you go back to just the cookie wafer itself? Like,
I'll twist them off. Uh-huh. So I have one side has the cookie, the other one has. So I'll eat the cookie and cream side first.
Then
save.
Yeah.
And I'll have like three or four of them.
What kind of Neanderthal are you? Who does this?
And then
this?
Sometimes I'll just go ahead and take a bite out of it because I'd like the whole thing.
Okay, well.
I'm sorry. You're giving me cookie eating etiquette?
Yes, I am giving you cookie eating etiquette.
And so are you down with this one?
I would try.
And how do you eat your Oreos?
I like an adult. I would just take a bite of it.
Like an adult, he says.
I'm just giving you a hard time. There it is. Another edition of Are You Gonna Eat That? There's a new layer in the gambling investigation, what we'll get to today at 102. You asked a question about the long day of tailgating college football, and I want to get to it with our listening audience, and we will ask you that today at 101 right before we get into this latest. It is Carson Anderson. Stick with us. Picks coming up at 138, 97.1 The Ticket.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So baseball fans are connected to the Fall Classic from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G, more towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever before. T-Mobile has you covered. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Best mobile network based on analysis by Ookla Speedtest Intelligence data, first half 2025. See details at T-Mobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Once upon a mundane morning, Barb's day got busy without warning. A realtor in need of an open house sign? No, 50 of them. And designed before 9.
My head hurts.
Any mighty tools to help with this plight?
Aha!
Barb made her move. She opened Canva and got in the groove.
Bulk creating Canva sheets. Create 50 signs fit for suburban streets.
Done in a click. All complete.
Sweet!
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.